Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Gil, what's your favorite app?
The Himalaya app.
That's right. That's where you find the No Chill podcast. We love the Himalaya app because they love us. All right? They found us. They discovered us. We're already out there, but
they knew
a good thing when they saw it. So the Himalaya app is changing the podcast game, taking it over, putting on some new podcasts and the ones you love already. So just go download the Himalaya app, H-I-M-A-L-A-Y-A. In the App Store, Google Play, wherever you get your apps. And then once you're there, subscribe to the No Chill Podcast.
To the No Chill Podcast.
Okay. And we'll take care of the rest. We got the rest from there.
We'll do the rest.
Yeah, we'll do the rest. On this episode of the No Chill Podcast, we jump into the Lakers soap opera. After you sort through the drama, there's a basketball team structure. And we have just the guy who can tell us how to get it right in L.A. GM and Coach Arenas figures things out from the top down. For Gil, it starts in the front office, recognizing the right players to keep, move, and bring in. Then it's the coach, one who knows how to connect to their players and a guy who can maximize talent. As for those players, of course it starts with LeBron. When you have an all-time great player, you surround him with the right blend of star power, experience, value signings, and complementary pieces. Bottom line, there is help on the horizon, but there's definitely work to be done to get there. It's a No Chill Podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast to get episodes when they drop. If you want to get them a day early, remember you can find us on the Himalaya app. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the No Chill channel on YouTube. All right, so on this episode, we got some good news for Lakers fans.
We do?
Yeah, we got you.
Oh.
Coach Gilbert Arenas... Coach and GM Gilbert Arenas is here to fix the Lakers.
No, okay. You can't say, like, there's hope. Like, I don't make decisions. I'm just putting on the Laker hat today.
Yeah, you could someday.
Laker hat today just for this episode. Like, that isn't... I don't want them to think I'm actually part of the organization.
Oh, okay. Officially not part of the organization, unofficially here to fix it.
Sure.
Just from like outside perspective. Sure,
from an outside standpoint. Got it.
Because I think, you know, that's the funny thing. We're here in LA and you just, if you watch any show, First Take or, you know, Undisputed or whatever, that everyone jumps off the bandwagon real quick.
Yeah.
Like they're over and, you know, LeBron's, it's done and...
Because it's for, you know, most
LeBron
of those
make
for,
a mistake? Did he tarnish his legacy?
It's for ratings. You know, most of those guys are just, it's for ratings and clicks. You know, half of the stuff
is
not
they,
actual
they
sports.
Create and fabricate a storyline.
Yeah.
No one wants to play with LeBron.
Yeah.
Guess what,
for,
people
as I
people
said, it's just for clicks.
Yeah. But then there actually is work to be done. Like, this team does need help.
Yeah.
Because it's there's a lot of question marks, obviously. And I think the way that Magic left, obviously, you know, Luke is gone now, too, that these jobs are going to have to get filled.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of who you actually fill it with and who's involved. And I think it comes down to LeBron, right? Like, it's got to be a coach that he vibes with, either he's played with before or, the guy has a vision.
To be honest, you have to start from the top. You know, you have to start from the top. You need a general manager first. From a general manager, you need an assistant general manager. And then from there, you pick a coach. Because if you pick the coach first and then a general manager, and the general manager, this is not his coach, you already have bumping of the heads. You know, so you want to start from the top. You know, you get your general manager, get your assistant general manager, and then...
Kind of what we saw with Luke.
Yeah, because I don't think that team had a... What is Polinko?
President. Wait.
Or is he the general manager?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's the general manager. He didn't have an assistant general manager.
So let's pick that up again. So it starts with the general manager.
So
actually what they do have, they have a general manager. What they have that's left is they have Jeannie, and then they have Rob. They don't have the president, which is where Magic is gone.
Uh-huh.
And then you don't have the coach.
Nor do you have an assistant general manager. You know, so that team had the president, general manager, no assistant, coach.
Okay, so let's fill this thing in.
Okay, so first you got to get a... I mean, to be honest, the president is not as important.
That's what I thought about Magic. Magic was really there for...
He was a face.
Yeah.
But you're the president. The legacy, right. You're not really that important, in a sense, for the everyday... You know, I think, you know, he took pressure off Pelinka.
You know? Well, did he get LeBron there?
We don't know who got LeBron there. You know?
That's what I'm saying.
But that's the problem. We all focused on Magic when we should have been focusing on the general manager. You know, that's your job. This is your job. Not
so
the
if
president.
Magic said, like, hey, I'm cool to be around the team. We'll have this meeting. Remember they had a meeting at LeBron's house?
Mm-hmm.
Done. Boom.
Mission yeah, accomplished. That's what I'm saying. That's Magic what, got LeBron got them, right. there, but at the end of the day, that's not technically his job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you need an assistant general manager, you know? And from those two, then you guys pick a coach. And then from there, you start filling out your roster. It's how you're supposed to do it.
So who's
or which makes more sense?
Sure, that's the logical sequence of events, right? Mm-hmm. You start from there. Now they need a coach. Who's the right coach to coach LeBron?
Oh, okay, it's not who can coach LeBron. It's who can coach the team.
Okay, that's fair. You know, because a lot of people do say that. LeBron won't play for this guy.
Because in a sense, it's you're not really coaching your superstar. You know, you're coaching the team. You're making everything fit. You know, so you're not necessarily like, Kerr is not coaching Steph and, you know, KD. You know, they're doing their own thing within the offense. He's just making sure that Klay gets possessions, that, you know, Draymond is doing the right thing. You're just managing, you know, those players. So, you know, when you think about coaches, not who can coach LeBron, it's who can mesh.
The most important thing about that with LeBron is that LeBron has to buy in to your system and your philosophy because he'll get everybody else to buy in.
I mean, a great coach has to understand, you know, before, you know, your Bobby Knights and all them, they made you fit into their system. Okay, which is great because you're picking the players you want for your system. Well, in the NBA, if you can't pull and pick every single player, as a coach, you have to adapt your system around these players for them to have success. You know, you can't just have, you know, the triangle. You can't have the triangle and then have non-triangle type of players and then try to force them to buy into your triangle. You have to pull and pick your star player. Your star player is going to figure out how to score and have you know how to manipulate any system you put them in. That's what makes them elite. It's everybody else that has to follow.
And it's also up to the GM and assistant GM to find the right player to flourish in this. So, like, mm-hmm. Iverson probably wouldn't have worked so great in the triangle.
You never know.
You
never know until you put him in there, and then he will figure out how to score into the system. Mm-hmm. But it's everyone else around the system that makes the system the system.
Mm-hmm. So as far as a system that they need, you need a coach with the right system, you're saying?
I mean, you know, Ty Lue coming back, you know, he's a player. He's a player's coach. So, you know, for the most part, he's going to mesh with all of the players. So, you know, he's not a bad fit. Mark Jackson's not a bad fit.
I think he's a little old school. We haven't seen him coach.
No, he had Steph. You know, you run up and down. You remember he played the game. So he's not one of these coaches who wasn't. You got to remember Mark Jackson, Tyronn Lue. One is a star. One played at a high level. You know, so he understands what it takes. He understands the mindset of these type of players. So he will mesh better than someone like Tyronn Lue. You know, Tyronn Lue, no offense, he was a backup, had success because he slowed down Iverson.
But championship teams,
he understands because he sees what Kobe
like
is.
That's the value.
Like, that's what I'm saying. But these guys, you see, mm-hmm. you know, it's, you know, the Doc Rivers, you know, there's a reason these guys are player coaches. You know, your Steve Kerrs, they've played around greatness. They've seen what greatness does. They know how to manage, you know, egos. You know, so
the, like Pop didn't play, even that championship player, or whatever, but he,
but
he,
you
he
can
knows
see,
egos.
But you know, because of the system he brung in, and he picks his players, handpicks them. So he doesn't get some gray area player that's going to come in and change what he's been doing. He picks players because he's the general manager also. So, you know, so he gets to pick each and every personality that comes to his team, which is hard.
And also that general manager has to get along with the coach.
Well, if he's the general manager and a coach, he don't have to worry about getting along with himself. So, you know, that's what I said. So it's different from Pop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's, if you're the GM and coach, that's like the perfect scenario, but you can't always get that because that's a lot to put on a coach, their plate, to where you have to evaluate talent, you have to worry about salary. Yeah, but, I mean, you have the assistant GM do that.
But that's the problem, that, you know, the mindset of the general manager picking the food that you have to cook as the chef. You know, that's where the beef comes in from. Cause,
but I think in the, like, Spurs, another great example, it's R.C. Buford and Pop.
But Pop is the general manager and the coach, so he doesn't have a head. The president means nothing to Pop.
So at least we can collaborate that on that.
What do you mean?
Right, so it's not on one guy to make all the decisions, and if you choose the wrong guy and the whole franchise says, we don't want that guy.
But you got to remember, the president is the president of basketball operations. He necessarily don't have nothing to do with basketball itself.
But don't you think that you need a bit of a
so if
a
you
check,
say, hey,
a
I
check
want
in place, so in case this GM is completely out of left field, and we got to like, whoa, this.
But that's what I said. If you look at the presidents, they necessarily don't have any basketball background for the most part. Not all of them, you know. So they're just making sure you stay on budget. You're doing. They're the paper guy. Mm-hmm. You know, that's that guy. You're the paper guy, making sure everything fits. The general manager and assistant general manager is the ones who's supposed to point out talent. Then you have your scouters.
Scouts, yeah.
You know, so when it comes to Pop, he's a general manager. He has his assistant manager, and then he has the scouting. So now that whole little group is picking the players that Pop is going to coach. So for
that's just a damn hard job.
So when you think about everyone else, this group is picking the players you're going to coach. And you're like, wait, I don't, he's not actually good. Like, why'd you pick? And that's what ends up happening. So when someone has to be let go, these guys are like, well, we're going to go to the coach first. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to fire myself for all the bad pieces I gave the coach. I'm going to fire the coach.
But I guess that's also job security for a coach, because if you're losing, they're not going to just say, all right, we'll get rid of the coach. We'll keep you as GM. They wouldn't do that. That's two jobs in one. You're out.
Yeah.
I'd rather stay as a coach.
Like Pat Riley. He's the general manager. He sees a team that looks amazing that year. He's like, oh, this is my time to win a championship. Hey, you're gone. I come down.
He didn't do that to Spo.
No, he didn't do it to Spo. He did it to Van Gundy.
Yeah, but you would have thought he would have. Like, everyone was waiting for it. Remember that
at
the time?
But he did it to Van Gundy. Came down. They won. Right? They won. Yeah, they won. He came down, they won, and then he went back up. He went back up, and then when LeBron and them came, he just stayed up. He didn't come back down, thought he was going to do.
Like, they were struggling, and they were so close, and like at one point, like, remember LeBron bumped into Spo, and it was like...
Yeah, it was when they were 8-for-8. It was like the first 16
pains,
games.
Right.
It was the first 16 games, and then they went on a 23-game winning streak. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you know, they went up against an amazing Dallas team. I mean, that Dallas team was just—it was balanced.
Yeah, it was their time.
It was their, you know. So, and then the following year, you know, they started off on fire. So, Pat Riley didn't have to come down. You know, it's like, okay, let me just see what happens. You know, remember that first championship was a half a season. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Pat wasn't going to come down for that. If they would have lost that, I'm pretty sure Pat was coming down for the next season. You know, but that's what the general manager gets to do.
Uh-huh. Pick your spots. You know, and that's the thing about him. He is a G, and he knew that if he doesn't use his voice all the time, they'll never drown him out. So I'm going to pick my spots and mm-hmm. come in, and when I say something,
yeah, but
it's down.
Just bullshit, though. You know, it's kind of...
It worked?
Yeah. I mean, it worked against Stan, but, you
so,
know, it's...
You know what? I think everyone talks about those three guys as the leading candidates, right? It's Ty Lue, Mark Jackson, Monty mm-hmm. Williams, because he has history with LeBron team in USA. What about the idea of taking a coach from another team? What? Like Stotts out of Portland.
What? Okay.
Because I don't see that there's what a lot makes, of good candidates out there.
What makes a great coach has always been my question.
I feel like you should tell me what like, you think a great coach
it's
is.
It's like, what makes this coach great? Like, Brad Stevens was the coach of the year. Oh, my God, look what he's done with less talent. Now he has talent. Look what he's done with that talent. Is he not a great coach anymore? Because when you gave him actual great talent, he couldn't make it all work. Like, what makes a great coach versus a bad coach? Like, we've seen great coaches, like, lose 1 year and then they get traded. I mean, they get fired.
Mm-hmm. Like D'Antoni.
I mean, yeah, he's a great regular season coach, yeah.
That, I was gonna say,
you know,
that,
when it comes to coaches...
You need a coach that can handle the long haul.
What I would give credit for when it comes to D'Antoni is this. If you're a superstar or if you're on the verge of being a superstar, that's the guy you want to play for because he will make you godlike. You know, when you say, all right, I got to play for any coach as an individual player, who's going to maximize my talent? I'm going with D'Antoni. I mean, so far he has, what, 3 MVPs under his belt? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I want to, as a scorer, I want to play under him because I know he's going to maximize my talent. Is that a great coach? Or is a great coach wins? Like, you know, you're winning every year because now we have to look at your team every year.
I think for fans, media, basketball.
They go off of wins.
Yeah, it is. For players, it comes down to what the coach can do for you, right?
Shouldn't the coach be judged by his players getting better?
Yeah.
It should be your players are getting better. Like, when you first got them, because if that's the case, why would you want to be a coach on any team from 9 to 16? Like, why would I want that job? The talent is not there. I go there. No matter how many wins I gain, at some point, because of the talent, it's going to be a losing season, and then I'm fired. So what is the point of actually trying to coach anything below that?
I think it's also timing. Some guys get a project, so they're hungry to prove themselves. Like, I can, you give me nothing,
but that's what I'm saying. Right? Any coach will want the job. I'm a head coach, but at the end of the day, you have no longevity because the guy upstairs is going to fire you off of your resume. And no one's going to hire you off of that resume.
I feel like guys get jobs even though they don't really deserve it. Like, they didn't exactly win here.
It's a boys' club. You know, it's,
well, look,
you know,
a good example is D'Antoni. The way it ended for him in New York, it was kind of like people just cast him off. And then Houston gave him a shot again. Mm-hmm. They're winning. They haven't won a championship yet. He's got, you know, he's got that hanging over him.
That's what I said. It's like, what makes you like?
At the end of the day, we judge you by wins, really.
That's what I said. You're judged by wins. So, all the great coaches are the winners. Like, I look at like, what did you turn into something? You know, what did you, you know, what did you do? Like, D'Antoni, when he came to Phoenix, he got Nash, turned that a guy who was supposed to have been over the hill. They didn't want to pay him his $55 million. That's it. They didn't want to pay him $55 million. He comes to D'Antoni, MVP, MVP. Oh, I got to look at that as a coach. Like, what did you do here? Like, what did you do to make this guy believe? That's how I look at it. Thibodeau, I don't give a fuck what his record says. You had Derrick Rose. He became that. He fell off. You got him back. He flourished again. You're a good coach.
And other guys, Jimmy too. I mean, did he ride him too hard? Is the question about?
That's what I said. It's old school. You know, without digging under the hood, you know, you can just see the players that's succeeding under coaches.
You know, I think to answer your question, because we got to get back to the Lakers problem, is a coach has to know basketball. So you have confidence in him. He's going to put you in the right positions to flourish, call the right plays. Some guys don't always call their plays, you know. But it's that they have to know basketball. They have to be a player's coach. I feel like every player always says that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's a player's coach. And they have to be cool. That you know that this guy, we go into battle, he's not going to lose his shit. He's going to be okay. And look at Pop, like in a press conference, on the sideline, in timeouts, he's going to deliver the right message. I'm thinking of guys like Chuck Daly, Phil Jackson, guys that won, Pat Riley.
Mm-hmm.
So all those guys were able to handle the pressure and the spotlight. They could have...
Be honest, what pressure do you really have as a coach?
Got to win.
I mean, yeah, but what are you really doing? Let's really think about it. You got to make sure you call right timeouts, sub in the right players, call decent plays out of the timeout in dead ball situations. The rest of the game is the players. The rest of the game is giving this guy the right amount of time versus this and managing the clock.
So what we saw with Denver the other night with Murray, right? Not having a good – you as a coach, you have to trust that he's going to get back on. He's one of your best players. Mm-hmm. He's off for the night, or even like Lowry in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
The coaches have to know personnel. Like you might say, oh, he's out. You know, like
– yeah, you got to – that's what I'm saying. But that's all. But those are the little decisions you're making here and there. Like Kerr's decision to be up 31 to take a starting five out. And then the other team comes back. Whose fault is that? No one's. There's no one's fault on that one. Like, if they're up 30 and you push it up to 50, oh, he's a dickhead for that.
Or somebody gets hurt.
Like, yeah, you're like a dickhead coach for doing that. Right. And then if you put him on the bench like you're supposed to and the other team still is playing hard and they come back and win and then you put your guys in the last 3 minutes and they're not ready because they've been sitting for 10 minutes and you lose, they look at you like you did something wrong.
Well, it's the pressure of being a coach.
But that's what I said. It's just like little things like that. That's why I say, hey, I'm going to beat you by 50. I don't give a fuck what you talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my motto. Because at the end of the day, you bring in the subs. They still got the starters in. Obviously, the starters are going to be better than the subs. So there's going to be a little comeback. Now you got to bring these guys off who's been icing for 15 minutes.
What did Thanos say?
Yeah, you know.
What did Thanos say?
Mm-hmm.
Go for the head.
Go for the head. So if you have to pick a coach, you know, it's – Tyronn Lue, Mark Jackson. I'm fine with any of those. But, you know, it's deeper than it. It's player personnel. It's who.
I would say it's the coaches they bring with them, too.
Huh?
The coaches they bring.
Again, your coaching staff means something, but it really doesn't mean anything. Like, I'm sorry. Your coaching staff really means nothing to me. Like, unless. Like, are your coaching staff making sure these guys getting good shots before the game? Are they lifting in the weight room? Are they getting enough rest? I mean, unless your coaching staff is, you know, sitting there and, you know, doing that, do you have a great, you know, players coach? Like, he's making sure the young guys get to the gym, the young guys are getting better. I mean, that's what really actually matters when it comes to the coaching staff. Like, someone's working with these guys individually, getting them better during the season. Because you got to remember, in the summer, you're not going to see them. So if you're not getting them better during the season, you have to hope that they worked out this summer. If not, what you got is what you got. You know, so that guy is very important. From there, it's making sure you have – the right talent on the court at all times.
I was going to say, it comes down to roster.
Roster.
So that's what we got to look at. Before we get into that, we've got to talk about, we have something cooking up for the No Chill podcast.
Like you hibachi ready? Cooking or just regular cooking?
I mean, if it's cooking on the No Chill podcast, it's hibachi cooking.
Okay, you're right. I'm not even going to lie.
We do big things. We aim high. So we have an exclusive agreement with our friends at Wix.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what we know about Wix is they build custom websites.
Mm-hmm.
They make it look cool, they make it look clean, and they work with you. They give you freedom. So look out for the No Chill Podcast website coming soon. Wix is building us a custom, beautiful page to keep all of our episode show details, and maybe even a way for fans to contact us. Not sliding in the DMs.
They get to ask us questions.
Yeah.
Oh, and I get the answer.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Ask us anything.
Ask us anything. That's scary.
Careful with that, yeah. So when you need to have a website, it's important to build one that you like, that works for you. And where do you do that? With Wix.
Mm-hmm.
They give you a variety of options and created with the characteristics that you're looking for. It's professional and robust. There's a professional solution for every need with features like Wix Video, Wix Stores, Wix Booking, and also the Wix blog. Wix just launched Wix Turbo, which means all sites made with Wix now load faster than ever. Wix takes care of all the heavy lifting like reliable hosting to keep your website safe and secure custom domains and mailboxes, email marketing, and more. I'm falling out of my seat. I'm so excited about Wix. Wix also, they give you total creative freedom. So with Wix, you can truly design anything you want, making each website personal, unique, and an original masterpiece. So we're saying the No-Chill website.
It's going to be nice.
It's going to be our masterpiece. Okay. The platform enables you to create whatever you want yourself, whether you're a novice, a business owner, an advanced designer, or a professional website builder. It's easy to use. It's clean. It's a professional look every time, and you get great results exactly how you like them. So to get started today, go to Wix.com.
Wix.com, baby.
Also, we got to talk about our friends at Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, cryptos, all commission-free. Other brokerages charge you up to $10 for every trade. Robinhood does not charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there's no account minimum needed to deposit. To get started, you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data and a place to trade in just four taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections, such as 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for the price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood, for our listeners, Robinhood is giving listeners of No Chill Podcast a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. All you got to do, sign up at nochill.robinhood.com.
Mm-hmm.
Nochill.robinhood.com. You got a free stock out there. Go get it.
Go get it.
Go get it.
Be hungry. Make that money.
So speaking of going and getting it, All right, we got to put a roster together for the Lakers. So first thing, you know, we're going to look at is who stays. There's one guy, the top dog.
Of course, LeBron.
Yeah, you know, have you seen those like wild – those wild rumors like, oh, do you trade LeBron? Who do you trade LeBron for? Are they better off without him?
I love when people say that. Are they better off? Yeah, they are. At last place. Yeah, they're better off in last place. Of course, LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with this team, it gets kind of... It gets kind of weird because... because I know it's hard to get free agents because the way it's designed for free agents to stay home. So it's going to be hard for them to pull free agents like you would think. So that means, you know, with LeBron, okay, Brandon Ingram will be my second keep. If I can get back JaVale, I get back JaVale. Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, if I can find a better KCP, you know, I'll let him float out there to see what, because I already know what I'm going to get from him, so I'll see what I can get. And then the same thing with the kid that came up, Alex.
Caruso.
Yeah. I like his aggressiveness. You know, when you think about Zoe and you think about, I mean, if you think about Zoe, it's, he lacks too many things that I'm going to need on the court. I mean, you lack aggressiveness, a consistent shot. Yeah. You're great at defense, but it doesn't make up for it anywhere else. Looking the ball up, passing the ball up. Okay, but at the end of the day, the ball's going to be in LeBron's hand. So I need you more of a scorer than actually a facilitator. So for a guy who can't get to the free throw line, who can't consistently shoot that outside shot and not aggressive, I'm going to try to find a way to let him go. And with that, you know, do I have to package him with Kyle Kuzma or Brandon Ingram? You know, it's one of those things where, but as of right now, you know, Lonzo has to be on the team because he's under contract. But I will be trying to replace him with someone like Josh Hart. Like, I just need a score with this team. I don't need someone trying to do what LeBron's already doing. If you look at how LeBron's had success, that point guard is easily a straight defensive player and can hit open shots, or he's a scorer. You know, like Mo Williams, Booby Gibson.
Or Kyrie.
You know, those guys are just flat-out scorers. So,
How about this scenario? You upgrade at point guard and you move Lonzo to backup.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the sense. But I'd rather have Josh Hart coming off as backup or Alex because they're both aggressive scorers. I don't need someone just sitting there trying to, depending on what my team is. But right now, he's on the team.
How about Rondo?
I mean, Rondo is one of those guys that, because of his talent, I'm forced to start him. You know, unless I bring in a Kyrie, I'm forced to start him. And, you know, it's him and LeBron are basically doing the same job. So I'm on the fence with Rondo. You know, it's one of those things that I'm on the fence with Rondo because I know if Rondo's on a team, he's my starting point guard. I'm trying to find someone who can score before I bring Rondo back.
Would you keep Rondo over Lonzo?
Yeah.
For the fact of
just the
experience.
Fact that Rondo's more aggressive, so I know Rondo's going to touch the paint. You got to remember, if the ball is touching the paint, someone has to stop it. Because if Rondo's in a paint, he's going to hit that layup. I mean, so because of Rondo always touches the paint, that means the defense is always collapsing. That's why he averaged so many assists. You know, that's what I said. I'm not sold on my guard play. You know, I'm not really sold on my guard play. My two, Brandon, you got Ingram, Cal, LeBron, JaVale, Josh. I'm fine with that. Now in free agency.
You got a hell of a lot of free agent options.
Free agency, it's a lot, but it's not realistic.
Right. Scenarios don't always mean
it's not, you know, not either. Realistic. You know, I'm going to put pressure on trying to get KD. The chances of me getting KD, I don't know. You got to remember, I can offer him the max, but Golden State's max is way more than I can afford. That I can actually give him. You know, it's like 120 versus 235. It's a really big difference. You know, it's a real big difference.
I thought it was 180 versus, two. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's a big, so it's 40, a big
yeah, 40
difference.
Million, big difference.
San Francisco, you know, tech money versus LA. There's really no.
It's been there for 3 years already.
I know, that's what I said. It's, you really.
He knows LA.
I don't have
LA
doesn't have an advantage over San Francisco at this point, unless he wants to be a movie star. You know, but, you know, tech money and Hollywood money, ah.
I feel like KD's scenario, it's really up to him. I don't think you need
he's
to
He's in a point
him.
Where
he
he's like
he
LeBron, where he's just want to go where he's going to be happy. The money doesn't matter, you know, so you have that swinging for you in L.A. So your first option is to go after KD. Now, with this roster, you have to be careful. Next best play to me is a shooting guard. You're going after Clay, which is probably less than likely. Probably not going to get him. You're going to have to give him way max money. You know, you're going to have to over.
Same problem as KD.
Yeah, with KD is max. Clay is not a max player. So if you want him, you're going to have to max him out. Like it. And it's going to have to be like 180 versus Golden State offering him 100. It's going to be such a big difference. But, you know, Golden State has two problems too. Same two players, KD and Clay. So, you know, I know what I get from Kyrie. He's not going to be my second or third choice at this point. You know, I can live without, you know, bringing Kyrie back. You know, so...
Well, we know what we get with Kyrie
and LeBron. We know what we get, which is special. Mm-hmm. I get a finisher. I get a fourth quarter guy. He meshes with this group. Klay gives you more outside shooting, gives you defense bigger, not a go-to guy at the end. Kawhi, I don't know how he goes with Brandon Ingram and Cal and LeBron.
Yeah, unless you're going to make a trade, you're overloaded.
Unless you're going to make a trade for him, and get rid of pieces. Jimmy, I'll try to bring in Jimmy Butler. At the two, you're not going to get Kimba. Now
you're not going to get Kimba?
No.
Why?
You're not going. Because you're going to have to overpay so much for Kimba that you might as well just go after Kyrie. Because like you're going to have to pay Kimba just as much as you're going to have to pay Kevin Durant.
I feel like Kemba is more stable and consistent than Kyrie.
But
if you take him out of Charlotte?
He's more consistent, but I don't need his consistency until the last 3 minutes.
But he does exactly what you've always wanted Kyrie to do. He kills and takes over.
Yes, but Kyrie's last 3 minutes is consistent. And that's where,
can do that.
But that's where you need him. You need Kyrie's consistency. So you have the same player, but would you want to pay Kimba 180? If you're going to pay 180 and you're forced to pay 180.
He's 2 years older than Kyrie.
No, but if I have to pay 180, I'm going to give it to KD or Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I would too for that.
But that's what I'm saying.
All these are scenarios. I feel like Kemba is the most available out of all these guys.
But he's going to cost the same. And that's the problem. It's like IT. And the problem IT was going with. Your talent says you're max, but your name doesn't. It doesn't, I don't want to pay you $180 million. Like, I just don't. Like, I know you're averaging 28, 27, you're doing, but I don't personally want to pay you that much because you don't bring 180 with you. You know, so it's like, if I'm going to pay the 180, I'm going to give it to KD, and I will be forced to give it to Jimmy Butler because I know what he brings. When it comes to there, I think Lakers' biggest gain, if I'm them, are bringing in players that's not going to be on the radar. You know, Tobias Harris, I'm going to try to grab him, you know, with him and LeBron, that'd be... Those are the type of players LeBron.
But I think for Tobias, he's going to want a max deal, which is why.
Have to give him a max.
And they knew that for that reason. We don't want to pay him what he's
going
to want.
You can pull off and give him 120, 140.
GM Arenas is a
spender. It all depends because I don't have to pay Brendan. I don't have to pay Ingram this summer. Like I should, but I can see if I can give that money to someone else and then worry about him the following summer. So, you know, I have Harris. Middleton is going to be free. Those are, you know, shooting, you know, guys who can, you know, spread that floor.
He's on a player option. So, depending on
I'm pretty sure he's going to opt out because your team's success has been very good. So you're going to probably opt out, you know. Cousins was a big go for me before. I figured he would be a Laker because Golden State can't pay him. He's going to be a big free agent, and coming to Hollywood would be good for him. But with the quad injury, I don't know how that factors in now.
You think somebody will pay him? Give him a long-term deal?
No, but it's still risky.
Right. So I mean, Golden State did was brilliant because they said, okay, we'll pay you $5 million.
It's not what, no. We're not going to give credit for Golden State.
I am. I just did.
Yeah, no. Stubbornness is how Golden State got him. He had offers way bigger than Golden State, mm-hmm. and he said, fuck all y'all. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go here. Golden State is just fortunate that they got him because, you know, he was ready to prove everyone wrong. Mm-hmm. That's how they got him. You know, you can't say Golden State was smart on that one. Anybody, he could have went anywhere. He chose to take $5 million.
Right, but to go to Golden State for one season, play half the season, run for a championship, and then go for a max deal, that made sense. And for this scenario,
that's perfect. That's what I'm saying. You can't credit Golden State for that.
They recognize that.
They didn't recognize it. They're like, oh, okay, you want to come here? We'll take you. Fuck it, $5 million. Okay. You know, who wouldn't have done that?
But I guess who would have given him a max deal?
Not a max, but you know, max deal is $40 million. He was offered $20 million a year. He's the one who said, fuck it. That's what I'm saying. It's like,
he wanted a max
deal. So, you know, like Lakers getting him for five, that wouldn't happen. You know, Boston getting him for five, that wouldn't happen. You know, he decided,
that's why I said Golden State was brilliant, because I don't think Boston or the Lakers thought of it that way.
No, because it wasn't on the table.
That's like a wild counteroffer. Like, what if I say, you can buy my $20 million mansion, and you're thinking, all right, how do I want to do that? Do I want to live here for that long? Or I say, oh, you can just live in it for $1 million a year.
No, but you got to remember, I'm worth $40 million. You guys don't want to give it to me? The next offer is $20 million? You know what? All right, I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go to state. What do y'all have to give me? We only got $5 million. I'm taking it. I'm gonna come there. You're like, wait, what? Okay, we'll take it. So $20 million for everybody else wasn't offered.
Ah, but what if they didn't see it that way?
Who didn't?
Golden State.
Who was it gonna take Cousins for $5 million? If anybody knew Cousins was available for $5 million, they would have just gave him the $20 million. Like, we'll take 100 of your $5 million. You know, of course. But that wasn't available for anybody else but Golden State. Mm-hmm. So for anyone else, it's just numbers game. You know, it's just Golden State it's just Lakers filling in the rosters with players like Danny Green. Can you squeeze DeAndre Jordan? Now, JaVale or DeAndre Jordan? You know, what's the difference? One's defensive player. JaVale's more agile.
It comes down to money.
As a center, I'll go with the cheaper one. Save money. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't bring DeAndre Jordan in if you're getting JaVale for pennies on a dollar. You know, Jordan's never – he's not going to give you anything JaVale is not giving you. I mean, better defense, probably a better body down there. But when it comes on the offensive end, JaVale will score a lot more because, for some reason, his goofy ass is always in position. And then now you're looking at players like –
so we give him some credit.
Yeah. Now you're looking at players like Trevor Ariza, Jeremy Lamb, J.J. Redick. You know, those are the guys that changes your roster without you spending a lot of money. I'll go after Jeremy Lamb really hard. He's underrated. I mean, he can, mm-hmm. you know.
So underrated.
With a guy like LeBron, he can plateau. I mean, he can really, you know, go up there. Danny Green would be solid. J.J. Redick, we know what to bring. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't go after Cal Corbett again.
Really?
All I need, as LeBron, all you need is these guys to hit shots.
Well, okay, so I guess the reason I react like that is because, do you want to put older guys, like what they did with Lance and Rondo and JaVale and Tyson Chandler, was all these guys like, you know what you have, but there's not a –
non-shooter,
you want the young
non-shooter,
guys
non-shooter, mm-hmm. non-shooter. So if you're a guy who relies on athleticism, your greatness comes from moving throughout the game unguarded, you know, so the more you can spread the floor, like Golden State, the reason these guys are good is because they're around each other. I can't double you because you have him. Can't double him because he has him. So now we got to play you guys all one-on-one, and you guys are going to kill us all one-on-one. So with LeBron, And Ingram, too. You have to make sure there's guys out there that would make anybody pay if you try to double him. They didn't have that last year. You know, that's where the struggles were. When you have Rondo on the floor that we're going to sit in the lane, force you. When we have Zoe, well, you can take that step back 3-point going left. All right, I'm not. That doesn't bother me.
Because there's nobody we really fear.
We don't fear anybody on the perimeter. So we're just going to sit on the lane and make everything difficult for you. You know, they need another star, you know.
And I think that's what it is with LeBron.
If he can recognize
what you have there. I mean, he's 34 years old, going into his, 18th season?
Mm-hmm.
Going to be 35. Hell of an athlete. Still has it, mm-hmm, athletically, but it's on the downside of that. So the Lakers also, it's in their best interest to build and get younger guys like a KD or Jimmy, I guess, is like on that fringe, but somebody younger, maybe. Kawhi would actually kind of be perfect.
But
that, you know, he can. You can give him a max deal, and he'll be there for five.
But you know, with Kawhi, you kind of run into a problem because, you know, you have 21-year-old Brandon Ingram. Yeah, he's not a star yet, but he's only 21.
So do you think you have LeBron for 4 more years, and by the time he's done, Ingram's elevated to take over what he left?
No. You know, Brandon is going to be a great wingman. I just don't think he's too light in the ass. But he's only 21, so, I mean, that's why I say it's – that's why when I said second, I said him. It's like I can't give up on someone who's only 21 years old. I mean,
you know an alpha when you see one. That's what you're saying.
He's 21. You know, if you look at his numbers, he's fine. You know, 16 last year, what he did, 18 this year. Next year, he should be on the verge of making an all-star game at the age of 22, which will make him probably the youngest Laker ever in front of Magic and Kobe. Russell.
Laker ever for what?
Pick. A Laker pick. Mm-hmm. Kobe wasn't a Laker pick.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, you know, so that's why I said the grab Kawhi Leonard, you're going to have to probably give up Kuz and Ingram.
Well, you'd have to move them.
You're going to have to.
Yeah. Same with KD.
No.
You'd have KD, LeBron, and Ingram together?
I'm fine with that.
I mean, I am too, but.
You know, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, you got the 2, the 3. You can go Ingram or KD at the 2, 3. LeBron at the 4 or 3.
KD at the
4. You know, then Kuz comes off the bench. Now you have a long, interchangeable team.
And I think back to LeBron's age, that you should not rely on him to play the minutes, the load that he had. And that was another reason to have Rondo. So, mm-hmm, because if we take LeBron out, you have a facilitator that comes in. It's on the point guard side of it rather than LeBron is at a 4.
I'm getting rid of a 6'10 guy to bring in a 6'1 guy. I mean, that's smart.
But personnel-wise, you would still have Kuzma, KD, Ingram.
Listen, that's what I said. It all depends on what I get in free agency to let me know what I'm going to do at Rondo. You know, it's complicated, but it's not. You just got to figure out the pieces you meant, what goes well with each other. You know, so, you know, if you bring in KD, you know, who else can you grab? And that'd be like a Jeremy Lamb or Danny Green. You know, now you don't have to go after Cousins. You don't have to go after Tobias Harris. If you get Kyrie back, then you try to get Middleton and Jeremy. Like, Jeremy Lamb, they should be going after. Mm-hmm.
I guess people just don't know everything that he can do because he's in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
But really, he has it all.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said he's so under the radar that's a guy you just try to, let me go ahead and steal that from you real quick. You know, kind of like what Houston did with James Harden. Let me go ahead and take that from you. You know, let me go ahead. You know, you don't see the value in him yet. You know, it's just shooters. It's just you have the athletes. You have athletes and horses. You just don't have shooters. You know, you know, Lance, you know, Tyson, you know, it's that first year you're just trying to fill the roster for the most part.
And we were hoping for some magic out of that roster.
No, you wasn't. You were just trying to fill a roster. To be honest, you were just trying to fill a roster.
I'll say, I mean, they had a little run before LeBron got hurt. They were in the fourth place.
They had a run.
They were looking okay.
They had a run until everyone got hurt. But it's still, you know, it's one of those things where you were trying to figure out what went well with what. You know, when Josh was starting, they was looking good. Mm-hmm. Because LeBron is the point. Everyone else just scored now. If you can't bring in KD, Kyrie, nor Jimmy, nor Kawhi, you're not going to get Kemba. You know, now from there, you just trying to figure out who has the it.
Well, if you don't get them, you don't have
If you don't get them, you can bring in Jeremy Lamb. Go for Middleton. See if Cousins wants to come. You know, but then you got to pray that he's healthy or not.
Keep him healthy. Tobias Harris, that's the one.
Yeah, but it all depends on how much.
Of those names you just listed off is like, I feel like these guys have other reasons for playing somewhere else besides L.A. or even the Lakers. Tobias seems like he would.
Yeah,
if he doesn't want to stay in Philly, he would be the guy I would go after.
But, Speaking of that's what I said, but it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you money for him. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. But overall, what this comes down to, I think, is the blend of young players, experienced players, star players. In a perfect world, that's what you have. Also, athletes, skill shooters.
Yeah,
blending that together.
Like, I can see why Magic was trying to throw everything for Anthony Davis. Because with Anthony Davis and LeBron, and then you would have still had JaVale. You really can put anybody on a team now, you know, to mesh with them. You know, and then, you know, you have two dominant stars. From there, you just roster fill just smart. You know, that's when you just bring – you can bring in Trevor Ariza, Jeremy Lamb, J.J. Redick, Danny Green, and actually have really good success. Because now you got spot-up shooters that you cannot actually leave because they will just kill you.
And also, Davis is that perfect age we were talking about. He'll be
there
for a while.
Yeah, I mean, you know what Magic was trying
really
to do.
He really is the guy.
That's what I said. What Magic was trying to do wasn't bad. It was – he
just didn't have enough to give. He wanted to be
there. He was trying.
Too.
I mean, at one point, you threw the whole fucking team under that sink, and, you know, Pelicans were just like, eh.
Yeah, I guess we never really heard, was there another team involved? I don't know why they couldn't get a three-way deal in there.
I just don't think Pelicans wanted to trade him to the Lakers. You know, it's just a fuck you.
Believe that? Yeah.
You know, and that's what happens, you know. You know, general managers say, you know what, no, fuck you guys over there. I'd rather trade him somewhere else.
Anywhere but you.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, that gets you fired, you know, at some point, because you trade them to something, got back nothing, and then the fans is like, ugh, we should have took that Laker deal. It was a little bit better.
GM got fired anyway.
Yeah.
Tell Dems. I'll tell you what. It's a hard
he might have got fired for not pulling the trigger. Who knows? Mm-hmm. You know, but it's one of those things where, you know, Anthony Davis, I mean, you're talking about the future. Anthony Davis. How old is Kawhi?
27, 28.
You know, it's, you know, building around Kawhi is harder. You know, trying to, you know, it's one of those things is he's dominant, but he's not dominant.
Looks pretty damn dominant.
This one said he's dominant, but he's not. He is dominant, but to build my team around, I'm not dominant. You know, you want to build around, you know, your Anthony Davis, your Embiid's. You know, those are the –
So Anthony Davis, 26, Kawhi, 27. And I think Kawhi is like – you need a 1A, 1B, like Paul George and Westbrook.
Yes. I'm not mad at Magic at 26 years old and you're trying to throw your whole sink at him, you had to. Because, you know, at the end of the day, teams get better through trades, not necessarily free agency. Drafting and trading, unless you get lucky and a star player wants to leave his team. But is the way the system is designed, is designed for the player not to leave. So unless you get a guy like, you know, KD, who's like, you know, I done did everything under the sun. All I need now is a championship and MVP of champ, you know, finals MVP. And the only place I can get that now is, okay, go to State. Let me go get that. Now you have that same player up for free agency. What is on his mind now? But reality says these players don't supposed to leave their home team. So telling Greek to come on because you're never going to win, he's not trying to hear that right now.
Not right now.
No, that's what I said.
Could happen someday.
Right now, that's not what he's trying to hear. You have Westbrook. You know, he's an average triple-double. He done did everything. Now he needs to win. Is his arrogance going to say, nah, I'm not.
Are you putting hope out there right
now?
No, I mean. LA kid.
But I don't think his personality says, he's the type of personality that says, I'm going to burn with the ship. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sink and dive with the ship. I'm not going to leave. If we don't win a championship, we don't win a championship. But I tried here. That's his personality.
And really, Oklahoma, out of that trio with him, KD, and Harden, he's the one standing. He's still there. And then they brought in PG for him.
Yeah. You know, Clay.
Even more reason to stay.
You know, Clay is the hardest one to read.
Always.
Because with Clay, you can tell it's just about basketball. Like, I don't give a shit about all this other shit. Just
we don't know what you give a shit about.
I just want to hoop. Just give me the fucking
KD
ball.
KD too.
You know, so when you look at him, it's like, I'm pretty sure no matter how much money you throw at him, he's one of those guys that's like, I just stay here. I'm good. You know,
he does have the L.A. ties with his dad.
Yeah, he has the L.A. ties with his dad. But he's the type of guy, this is where I've been. They haven't done anything wrong, so, yeah.
I mean, think that goes a long way. When the franchise does right by you, why go anywhere?
Yeah, and that's why if
unless
I had to say
unless
one,
you're Blake Griffin.
If I had to say one player wouldn't leave, it's probably Clay. Mm-hmm. Probably Clay and Kemba is probably the only two players that actually wouldn't leave.
I think Kemba, just for him, he'd been in Charlotte this whole time, and you're always fighting just to make the playoffs. It's like, man, I just want to go someplace where I'm in.
In what?
We're a contender.
Contender for what?
A championship. That's at least top four. Like Dame. Dame is good in Portland. At least they contend every year. He's not scraping just to get by.
In reality, if you're not going to win a championship, what the fuck? I'm going to leave just to be top four now? Like, eh. Because top four can be easily, that can easily drop to eighth.
No, I'm saying legit top four. Like, if not one or two, worst case four, like Dame. Well, KD, he was just like,
but
I'm
you gotta
all
remember,
in, I'm going one or none.
But Portland's team, they've been 3-6 for the last couple of years. Like, they haven't got over the hump because they haven't added anybody to the hump. You know, if Aldridge was still there, yeah, they probably have. But they still would be. They would still be where they are. They have, you know, they haven't, they don't have anything that gets them over that hump unless they bring in a superstar. Mm-hmm. Like, as I said, it's one superstar away from changing you from 6-2, 6-1, 8-1. You know, it's.
Tell you what, man, that GM job is tough. If I learned anything today, it's that. The coach thing, you got me on that, I agree.
The GM job is not. It's not. It's not.
It's tough.
It's tough because unless you get lucky, the players you go after are the Jeremy Lin's, the Trevor, the Danny Green's, the JJ Redick's, the Middletons. Those is what your team is built on. That's what changes your team for the better.
Those pieces and
those little pieces that's connectable. Like, okay, we can build off that. Now if we get an Anthony Davis, whoo, thank you, Jesus. I keep my job for another 6 years. You know, other than that, you're just sitting there like building a team like Pop. Mm-hmm. I'm picking the right draft pick. I'm picking the right free agent. Mm-hmm. They keep me in the 48 to 55 area. Consistency. You know.
Built for the long run.
Huh?
Built for the long run.
No.
That's what they are?
Yeah, they didn't build for the long run. They built for the Spurs? They built for the next 3 years. The next 3 years. Next 3 years. Next 3 years.
That's the long run.
That's not the long run. That's the short game. They're playing a short game very great.
The Spurs.
Yeah. They're playing it like who's there for the long run right now?
No, they're in that transition now. But what they had before, Parker, Ginobili, Duncan, like those guys were there for their whole career.
Yeah, but you wasn't planning on that for that. You had Tim. You remember, you just have Tim.
You're in San Antonio. Keep you there because you're not going to bring guys in.
But what I'm saying is you have Tim. Your draft pick at 28. Your 28th draft pick is Tony Parker. You're not thinking long term at this point. Okay, you had Ginobili there. These guys are okay. These guys are okay. I'm gonna give him 50. I'm gonna give him 45. There's no longevity there. These guys just kept getting better, and then from there, you're just bringing in all these little pieces that just added to what they were doing. But it wasn't that your 28th pick wasn't long term. he just happened to be good and play great in this system.
He was there for what, 15 years?
Yeah, he just happened to play. How long has Patty Mills been there? Has he been? Is he long term? No.
He's not going anywhere.
But I'm saying he's not going anywhere, but he's not long. He's not considered long term. So every 3 years, there's just boom, 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 boom.
Okay, so Lakers right now, we got good news for you. You got options. You got someone to work with.
You got options. I mean, you know, it's just that, you know, your player staff has to understand what talent is and what that talent. Just bringing pieces in, it's not always good. Those pieces got to fit and mesh with everyone else.
What's the word? Chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Lamb, everyone.
You know who he is.
Hmm?
We know who he is.
Yeah, he's good on 2K. He's very good on
2K. Yeah, I mean, all-around player. His rating up there. All right. Laker fans, you have hope.
You don't have hope. You fucking stop lying there. I don't know. I don't know who their assistant general manager is.
If you have LeBron, you always have hope.
True. That's facts.
That's facts.